Good morning and welcome. I've been told I must be loud because of my mask, so hopefully you can all hear me. A few announcements as we enter into this time together. Next week, as you know, will be Thanksgiving. We plan to have two services for that Sunday, so a 9 a.m. service and an 11 a.m. service. Can appreciate that with so many changes that we've been introducing in this past stretch. Sometimes those details can get mixed up, but I appreciate your paying close attention to the bulletins. And if in doubt, phone the office and Eileen or one of us can fill you in on the details if there is any confusion. In addition to that service, we'll be sharing invitation to join in communion from home. That will be included with the recording that goes online, but also with the mail-outs that many of you I know receive. So I invite you to be preparing for that and looking for that as well. We'll say that, as with Easter, this past spring, this holiday weekend will be very different for us. Very different for so many of us and our families. All the same, it's good to pause, as we'll be doing next week, and to take count of the things that we can be grateful for in the midst of everything during this time. So we pray that those would be encouraging and strengthening days for all of us. Our speaker for this morning is Paul Adams. You'll know that Paul served here for some time as interim pastor. And I don't know how many of you have had a chance to watch or listen to or read my message from last week, but I feel like I owe Paul an apology. At times, I painted a somewhat unflattering portrait of marathon runners, saying they could just be a cutthroat competitive type. Some of you know that Paul is a seasoned marathon runner, and he's most certainly not like that. He exemplifies that spirit of the runner that helps the other runners that I spoke of. And there are just as many runners who run to complete the race, and that's their goal. And that's the theme that he'll be talking about this morning. So blessings as you speak today, Paul. Thank you for your openness to doing so at this time. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 19, verses 7 to 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the hearts. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold and than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Alvin will now lead us in song. Could you hear us joining together, even if it's just humming for now? I know speaking to so many of you, music is such a important and sacred thing, and it's good to be able to join together, even if we can't be singing right now. I would invite you to please pray with me. God, we seek you in this time. In this time when so much is unknown, when so much remains hidden from our sights, we seek you. And God, we find ourselves wanting so many things in these weeks. But more than any of those, we want you. More than any of those things, we seek you. And we seek your kingdom. And so we seek you today on behalf of those who are mourning, on behalf of those who are recovering and healing, on behalf of those who are still in hospital or are anxiously waiting along those who are. God, we name them in the quietness of our hearts. Jesus, we name your name over them in our hearts now. God, we ask that you bless the reading of your words and bless your servant Paul as he shares as well. May the words he speaks and the words you speak speak to us and speak to our hearts today and in the days to come. So that as we continue to run this race, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, and pressing on to that which as God has called us in Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Invite Alvin to lead us in music again.
Good morning, and thank you very much for the invitation to preach on this wonderful theme. And Alvin, thank you as well for the music that you have chosen to accompany the service today. Pressing on to win the prize. I'd like to read from Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7 through verse 14. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. May God speak to our hearts as we are inspired by God's Spirit this day. As I found myself rereading the book of Philippians, and then rereading my sermon notes, I believe the Holy Spirit would have me preach this morning on this text. It became increasingly clear as I was reading and rereading that the context in which the Apostle Paul found himself when he wrote this little letter to the church at Philippi, in many ways, is quite similar to ours. He was confined to accommodations in Rome. His future was uncertain. Would he be set free? Would he have a prolonged period of incarceration? Or would he experience death as a martyr in the Christian church? He was in some ways in a bubble. And I'm sure there were many moments as the Apostle Paul was confined to that bubble when those famous words that he wrote and spoke came alive to him when he said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Does that sound familiar? What's the future hold for me? Yes, I know that God has prepared a place for me, and one day I shall be elevated from the earthly terrain to the heavenly home. Yet the tone of this letter is that of joy. It's that of an abundant hope in Christ Jesus, his Lord and his Savior. And let's see this morning for a few moments if we can be encouraged and find hope in the Scriptures and in this message from the Apostle Paul. In the e-bulletin that you may have received, I've included some thoughts to ponder, and oh, rich would be the time that you would spend in pondering these things. Let's begin by acknowledging a few things. First of all, about the past. It's over. It's done. It's gone. It's finished. It's ended. It's passed away. You can't change one thing about it. It may be yesterday that you have regrets. It may be the last few years. But the past is the past. Recognize what you can do about it. While you can't change the past, you can change the way you respond to it and the memories of the past. God's strategy is for us to claim our forgiveness, our acceptance in the Beloved, and our opportunity, moment by moment and day by day, to lead a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life and grow in Christ. Paul the Apostle tells us that the way to deal with the past is to forget it. Listen to what he says. "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind." Paul is saying that the way to deal with the past is to forget it. To develop some form of Holy Spirit, divinely inspired amnesia. Yes, of course, it's impossible because our brain is an amazing organ and it's able to retain every incident. We may not be able to consciously recall them. We forget some things. But there is a sense which the Spirit of God is impressing upon the Apostle Paul, and the Spirit of God would impress upon us that we must move forward and forget. It's the past. Oh, we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. We may be saying, what? It's easier said than done. You see, Jesus Christ has liberated us. Jesus Christ has dealt with our sins. The reason Christ came to this earth was to offer his life on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven. Christ Jesus carried upon his mortal frames the sins of the human race and your sins, the past. As you deal with that, Paul, the apostle, when he recalled the past, listed many things that he had accomplished, that he had achieved, that he had done. The good, the prestigious, his achievements, and his terrible regrets as a persecutor of the Christian church. The Apostle Paul, as you know very well, was struck on the road to Damascus, and he had the most inspiring encounter with a risen, resurrected Christ. And from that moment on in his earthly journey, he said, for me to live is Christ. It's all consuming. My past is what it is. It's in the past. And I move forward. So there he sits in his bubble in Rome. And he's encouraging each of us today in the 21st century to move forward from the past. I love the interpretation that Eugene Peterson gives to verse 8 when he writes, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my master, firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dung, manure, I've dumped it all in the trash so that I can embrace Christ. Oh, this time that we are experiencing in our bubbles allows us to take stock of those things that are priority. And a believer in Christ Jesus this morning, one thing we do is to forget the past and to move forward as the Spirit of God enables us. But there must be deliberate activity. One thing I do, Paul said, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Oh, dearly beloved child of God, each of us have no knowledge as to the number of days that would be ours. And so we pause and reflect this morning that we too join with the Apostle Paul and say, for me to live is Christ. And we establish our priorities accordingly. Oh, I understand that pessimism seems to reign. Most pessimism is unhealthy. And it's important for us to move forward in a positive way, in an active way. We've been convinced that we could never break free of the patterns that we have. And I speak this morning to the younger generation as well as to the older generations. We are able to break free from those patterns of behavior from our past. And God is an optimist. The Spirit of God wants to grab a hold of us today. I know that because Jesus Christ ascended into the heavens and he put his disciples in charge of winning the world. There is need for us to move forward, to have hope. We must replace pessimism and depression about our circumstances, whatever they may be, with an optimistic sense of our future in Christ Jesus. Listen to the wonderful words God shared through the prophet Jeremiah when Jeremiah's people, who were experiencing very difficult times, we know this text well. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Child of God, this morning, God is calling us through the words of the Apostle Paul to realize that we have not only a present, but also a future, to hope in that. Paul says that he reaches forward to what lies ahead. Here is someone who is involved with living out his life. He's not merely content to be acted upon. He must himself be involved in the work that is before him. Paul was busy while he was in that Roman prison cell. He was busy talking to the guards. He was busy inviting the occasional visitor into his bubble. He was busy writing letters of encouragement and hope for the Christian church, which we are reading today. How many of us, while we have been in quarantine and in our bubbles, how many of us have started new habits? It may be reading from a paper, or it may be reading a series of books. My dear wife and I have begun doing yoga a few times a week, going for walks a few times a week. This also is a way of saying, well, we have to set some priorities and try some new things. And Jesus is calling us to move forward. Do new things. Try new things. Be an optimist. Eugene Peterson, again in his The Message, helps at this point. Paul says, "Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for this same goal." If I might be allowed to share just one marathoning illustration, it would be this, that of course, the most famous marathon of all, the Boston Marathon, there were well over 30,000 runners who were signed up to run this past April. And of course, it had to be canceled. But do you realize that those men and women from around the world and all those countries who had been training and training and training and getting ready for the race then had to accept the fact that it wasn't going to happen? But the interesting response was those men and women who had trained for that race, well over 15,000 of them registered to run a virtual marathon. That was tracked on some of these online services, Strata and other online applications, because they weren't going to stop. They were going to carry on and do it differently. And all of us as men and women, we are called to carry on. Oh, you've heard this expression many times. Life is not a sprint. Life is a marathon. And so that well fits into the theme of the book of Philippians that we are looking at during these Sunday mornings. The finish line, you younger generation who are listening in, is not simply a certain age. It's not certain the accumulation of a certain amount of money. It's not reaching a certain plateau within your chosen career. And it's not, the finish line is not some failure that you have experienced in your life and saying, "I give up." Our high and holy calling in Christ Jesus is to run the course that has been set out for us by Jesus Christ. Please check out Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1 and 2. Each of us, regardless of our age, has a course that must be run. And we find ourselves in the middle of a marathon, each and every one of us. One of the best books that I have ever read concerning the spiritual disciplines of a Christian life is that classic book by Dallas Willard, W-I-L-A-R-D. And his work is all about the game plan, the curriculum, the training schedule that is for us set out. We believe in Jesus Christ. We desire to be His apprentice. We live a life of faithful obedience. We experience an inner transformation. And we see God at work, God's power at work in and through us. In and through us. That is what God is calling us. And so there must not only be this sense of forgetting the past and being involved in deliberate activity in the present, but also a determined attitude to move forward. One thing I do, the Apostle Paul wrote, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal. In Romans chapter 5, it's very interesting that the Apostle Paul there to the church at Rome wrote these words in Romans 5, verse 3 and 5. We glory in our sufferings, Paul writes, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So what happens during confinement? What happens during our present inconveniences? Is the love of God in Christ being poured into your hearts, into your lives? You know, it's difficult to run a marathon, but it's even harder to train for a marathon. A number of years ago, before I turned age 60, I developed a severe injury while running, and it caused me to run very slow. I was very tentative as I got back into running again after my injury healed. But I resolved that if I continued to be tentative, to be reserved, to be cautious, I wouldn't be breaking any new records for myself. And so I moved outside of my comfort zone, and I began to train more efficiently and more effectively. And so at the age of 60, I ran the Boston Marathon in 3 hours and 30 minutes. But then again, there was this other experience. Personal illustration to my friends here at St. Catherine's United Mennonite Church. When I left the position of your interim pastor the end of January 2018, before my wife and I took off for our winter escape, The oncologist told me I had cancer and that I had to deal with that. And so that set me back. And surgery and radiation and the side effects of the drugs and so forth. I've had to accept the changes. Men and women, brothers in Christ, we need to accept the changes at every stage in our lives. Oh, and then the other funny illustration that I must share with you. You see me hobbling up on the steps here. Earlier in the week, Candy and I went for a walk. I got hit on the head by a chestnut. Well, then I thought, okay, knock some sense into me. And then on Thursday, I go outside and I'm running on the sidewalk and I severely twist my ankle on a walnut. You know those walnuts can be terrible. And so I thought, well, Paul, what are you going to do now? Feel sorry for yourself? Retreat into your bubble? So as my dear wife was coming home from a walk yesterday, she said, who is that strange fella on a bicycle? So there I was bicycling towards my wife and joining with her. But I must conclude this message. And I concluded by saying the following. One day, you will be able to speak the words that the Apostle Paul wrote to his colleague in ministry, Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. For me, for you, to live is Christ and to die is gain. You too, as a person of faith, to win that prize. Receive hope and receive encouragement from the scriptures this morning. Now, I'm going to issue a personal challenge. Amen. a personal challenge to Pastor Nick. I think now, with the sprained ankle and everything else I'm going through, I'm going to challenge Pastor Nick to a 10-kilometer race. It's probably the only time you'll be able to beat me. God bless you, congregation. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you so much, Paul. I'll report back next week. We'll see how that goes. Thank you. Through these weeks and months, it can certainly be easy to be discouraged. And so that word of encouragement, word of hope, challenging us to press on to the hope that we have in Christ. Thank you again for that. I would invite our ushers to their places in the sanctuary at this time. These words, adapted from Paul's words as they are written in the book of Acts. In light of the glorious riches of God's love, may we consider our life worth nothing, and may our only aim be to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given us, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Amen.